Our gospel lesson for this 22nd Sunday after Pentecost comes from the Gospel of Luke, the 20th chapter, verses 27 through 38. Now, these verses may sound a bit odd to you. You may have never heard these verses before. But as you're hearing them today, whether it's for the first time or you've heard it many times before, just kind of think about what's going on here. And we'll talk about it in just a moment. So hear these words. Some Sadducees, those who say there is no resurrection, came to him and asked him a question. Teacher, Moses wrote for us that if a man's brother dies, leaving a wife but no children, the man shall marry the widow and raise up children for his brother. Now there were seven brothers. The first married and died childless. Then the second and the third married her. And so in the same way, all seven died childless. Finally, the woman also died. In the resurrection, therefore, whose wife will the woman be? For the seven had married her. Jesus said to them, those who belong to this age marry and are given in marriage. But those who are considered worthy of a place in that age and in the resurrection from the dead neither marry nor are given in marriage. Indeed, they cannot die anymore, because they are like angels and are children of God, being children of the resurrection. And the fact that the dead are raised, Moses himself showed in the story about the bush, where he speaks of the Lord as the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Now, he is God, not of the dead, but of the living. For to him, all of them are alive. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Friends, as we gather here this morning, something is happening. Something is happening. Something is happening all across this city of ours, across Raleigh. Something is changing right now, at this very moment. And I can't explain it exactly, but that doesn't really matter, because it's happening whether or not I can explain it. I tell you, I first noticed it at Harris Teeter this past Friday. Yes, Harris Teeter. Let me get an amen. Amen. All right, Harris Teeter, thank you. I was at the Harris Teeter at the corner of Creedmoor Road and Millbrook Road. And I was walking down past the produce, heading back toward the bakery. And lo and behold, I ran into this display. And on this display, there were bags of green M&Ms and bags of red M&Ms. I was stunned, but I kept going. A little bit further, I saw gift bags. And on this gift bag was a graphic of these sparkling lights. I was stunned, but I kept going. Around the corner, and there was an end cap. And on the end cap was old-fashioned Claxton fruitcake. What's going on, folks? What's going on, folks? Christmas is going on. Oh, no. I was stunned, and I was trying to figure what's going on, and it came to me that what's going on is that people are trying to get a jump on Christmas. Here we are, what is today, the 10th of November. We still have a few weeks till we get to Thanksgiving, and here we are jumping to Christmas. We're trying to get a jump on it. And I started thinking, why are we doing that? And the reason I think we're doing that is we're afraid. We're afraid that if we don't get a jump on Christmas, what's going to happen? We're going to be left behind. We're going to be left behind. We cannot stand that idea. So, I was thinking about this, and I realized that if it's good enough for Harris Teeter, it's good enough for Pleasant Grove United Methodist Church. So, we're going to get a jump on Christmas today, because I am afraid if we don't, come December, we're going to be left behind. Okay, stay with me. Let me pose a question to you. Let's suppose that you wanted to get a jump on Christmas, not just here at Pleasant Grove, but in your life. And you decide the first thing you're going to do in your Christmas preparations is you're going to reflect on the Christmas story, right? Now, if you're going to do that, what would you do? Now, at the middle service today, I kind of said, well, one thing you shouldn't do is start with Dr. Seuss. And then I had people come up to me after church and lay into me about, don't be messing with Dr. Seuss, so I'm not going there. Okay. Don't go and watch the movie Elf instead of read, okay? I like the movie Elf, but don't do that. Don't go to Polar Express to find a Christmas story. Again, I'm going to hear about that, I'm sure, too. No, I want you to go read the story. And where would you go to read that story?
The Bible.
The Bible. And you would go to the Gospels. But you couldn't read in all the Gospels. What Gospels would you find that story in? Only in Matthew and Luke. And really not so much in Matthew. The story is really in Luke. Chapter 2. Q. Linus. Let me read. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be enrolled. This was the first enrollment when Quirinius was governor of Syria, and all went to be enrolled, each to his own city. Does that sound familiar to you? I hope so. If not, it won't be too much longer, folks, until you hear these words echoing over and over again in these halls. In fact, Sunday, December 1, 3 weeks from today, is the first Sunday of Advent. Wow. 3 weeks, but I can't wait 3 weeks because I don't want to be left behind. I want to get a jump on this Christmas thing. You know, I want to talk about Christmas now. Well, not really Christmas. I want to talk about Advent. The season of anticipation, during which we somehow prepare our lives, along with our homes and our yards. Thank you, Clark. See, what are y'all doing? Don't be watching that stuff. Anyway, we're going to be preparing for the birth of Jesus, okay? And you know, we've talked about it many times, the word Advent comes from the Latin word adventus, which means coming. Something is coming. And since at least the 4th century, Christians have celebrated during used those weeks leading up to the celebration of Christmas to prepare for the celebration of the incarnation, the enfleshment of God's transforming presence. Okay, now I'll admit, the gospel lesson for today, the 22nd Sunday after Pentecost, doesn't seem like much of an Advent message when you first hear it. After all, it's a passage about what is called levirate marriage. Now, if you want to know more about levirate marriage, you need to turn to Deuteronomy 25:5. You can read all you want about it. But that's not what caught my eye. It was the end of the passage that caught my mind. As I thought about it and I reflected about it, I realized this is a perfect text to give us a jump on Christmas. You see, at its very heart, this lesson today is about the presence of a God that transcends time. Okay? It's the great 20th century theologian Paul Tillich's concept of an eternal now. You know, it's always now, right? In other words, we don't talk about a God who was, who a God who will be. No, that makes no sense. Because God is always now. Jesus said, now he is God, not of the dead, but of the living. The God of the now. That's the Christmas message, isn't it? That's the meaning of Emmanuel. God is with us now. Advent is all about coming to that realization. You know. And when you realize that you are continually immersed in the presence of God, in the presence of the sacred right now, it changes everything about your life. It changes what you say to other people. It changes what you teach your children. It changes how you allocate your resources. It changes how you assign value in your life. And it will change how you spend your time. For an Advent's a gift to us. It's a marvelous, valuable gift. Advent is a season during which we are encouraged to seek out what is called the unitive mystery. That gift of awareness that every part of your life is inherently holy because God is always in it. Dr. James Finley calls it the aura of awareness. I call it connecting. Connecting. Now, probably most of us would agree that God's presence is ubiquitous. As the psalmist writes so eloquently and Jonah read for us a few minutes ago, where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you're there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you're there. If I take the wings of the morning and settle at the farthest limits of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me and your right hand shall hold me fast. That's beautiful stuff. But how often do we really know that in the depths of our being? How often are we afforded that perspective, really? Not very. And I believe the reason this is such a rare occurrence in our lives that we never take time to be aware. We never take time for mindfulness. As Brother Lawrence might have said, we never practice the presence of God. Friends, that's what Advent's about. It's about practicing. It's about ordering our lives in a certain way over the course of several weeks so we might get a glimpse of what, you know, life truly is sacred. Advent's about practicing our faith with the goal of connecting. Christmas is about celebrating that connection. You know, each year, my hope is that I will not squander the holy season in acts of acquisitiveness, you know, of mindless and senseless consumption. And then on December 25, find myself in the exact same place I started the season. Now, it may be logical when we think in terms of the material to assume that if you want to get somewhere new, you have to leave your current location. But that logic doesn't seem to hold for us when we talk about spiritual realities. No. And that has tragic implications. You see, we never get anywhere new. Friends, Advent's about arriving somewhere new. It's about walking deeper into our lives as we awaken to the ever-abiding presence of God. Emmanuel. We even have precedents for this walk. As you know, the first Advent began with a walk. Right? Let me pick up where Linus left off earlier. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the city of David, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was the house and lineage of David, to be enrolled with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn. It's about 97 miles, give or take a few feet, from the Church of the Annunciation, built of a location where tradition says that Mary and Joseph lived in Nazareth, to the Church of the Nativity, which is in Bethlehem. It's constructed over the site that tradition says that Jesus was born. 97 miles, give or take a few feet. So, in an act of reminiscence of a medieval pilgrimage, I'm inviting you again to walk with other members of this community of faith from Nazareth to Bethlehem. And you're going to do it during the season of Advent. You know, people have always understood that there's a fundamental connection between the physical and the spiritual. So as we walk together during the Advent season, it's my hope that we'll find ourselves moving both physically and spiritually to a new place. A new and meaningful place for our lives, intentionally. A few years back, we handed out pedometers to every member of this church. We received a grant for healthful living, and part of it was to get people moving. So we gave every single person a pedometer. And then we asked them to walk as both physical exercise as well as spiritual exercise. Do you remember, does anybody here, who remembers the walk to Bethlehem? It was, I don't know how many years ago it was. Okay, good. Some of you remember that. Well, between now and 3 weeks from today, December 1st, you need to find that odometer. You need to find a device, maybe your phone does it now or whatever, that can count your steps. If you don't have such a device, let me know. We will get them for you. Okay? And then what I want you to do, once you have found your device, I want you to commit to making the journey from Nazareth to Bethlehem over the course of 25 days in December. December 1 through 25. In the meantime, we will be identifying a way on our end of things to track your progress. You remember years when we did the first time, someone had a spreadsheet and it tracked the amount you walked, and I think I won. I'm not really sure, but I probably did, but I won't worry about that right now. And what this means is you're going to need to average 3.9 miles. Actually, Kim, did you do that spreadsheet? Oh, okay. I saw Kim, but I thought maybe she did that. Anyway, 3.9 miles per day or 7,800 steps a day in order to be in Bethlehem on Christmas morning. All right. It's going to be a lot of fun. And it just might change the way you think about doing Christmas, or really think about doing Advent. Now, I hope you'll be creative in how you live into this Advent journey. Maybe you'll just walk alone. Every morning you'll walk the same path or the same way. Or maybe you'll walk together. You know, we've started some Grove groups, and a number of them deal with walking. And I'm hoping maybe you'll get together with that group and walk. Or maybe you'll organize a group in your community to walk. Maybe you'll walk in silence. Or better yet, maybe you'll talk along the way about your Advent and Christmas practices. You know, walk as you engage in life-affirming conversation. Maybe it's the morning, maybe it's in the late afternoon, but just walk. And as you walk, be aware that you are walking, that you're moving. You know, like Mary and Joseph did, you're walking somewhere special. You're going somewhere new. You know, believe it or not, Advent and Christmas are religious seasons. Did you know that? Yes, you did. Did you? You know, they're spiritual. They're spiritual. Activities like baking cookies can be profoundly spiritual acts. Decorating the Christmas tree can be profoundly spiritual. Hanging mistletoe in strategic locations can be profoundly spiritual. Even shopping can be profoundly spiritual. It's called awareness. Awareness. It's called mindfulness. In a marvelous little book entitled The Miracle of Mindfulness, Thich Nhat Hanh writes that there is a correct way to do the dishes and an incorrect way to do the dishes. And I've shared this with you in many different venues. And the difference is this. If you do the dishes, let's say in the evening, in order to get clean dishes, that's the point. You have lost that moment of your life forever. And you have squandered its significance, its sacredness. But if you do the dishes to do the dishes, you find life. Okay, let that work on you over lunch, okay? Okay, think about it this way, friends. You can bake those Christmas cookies and cakes and little gingerbread people in order to meet certain holiday obligations. You can do that. And you can decorate the tree after the kids go to bed and you can knock it out. It's a lot easier. Or you can hurriedly arrange the pieces of the creche on the dining room table before you hear that knock on the door as a family arrives on Christmas Day. Or you can do all of these activities in an aura of awareness, mindful of the sacredness of your life and the wonderful gift that that life is. You know, Advent doesn't start for another 3 weeks. I could have waited like I normally do and talk about Advent and Christmas on December 1. But that would have been too late. We would have been left behind. We need to prepare for this sacred journey now. So how are you going to do Advent and Christmas this year? Are you going to do it like you did last year? I hope not. I hope not. I hope you're going to go somewhere new this year. How about this? Let's walk together. Let's walk. Let's walk to Bethlehem. Now remember, we don't live in Bethlehem, right? We need to get there. We need to get there. And we're never going to get there if we don't start moving. And like all trips, there are many routes to the destination. It all depends on where you're starting. Y'all have to figure your way to get there. Okay. If you came to the non-canonical Bible study a few weeks ago, non-canonical gospel study a few weeks ago, we looked at what's called the Proto-Gospel of James. It's a second century Christian writing that preserves a tradition that says that the moment that Jesus was born, the world paused. It was such a sacred moment that time even paused in an act of reverence. What a beautiful tradition. What a beautiful. It's called the unitive mystery. Maybe this Christmas, we will be given that gift. Thanks be to God. Amen.